tuning into Podcast Viewfinder.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. We look at the world around you, the news, movies, video games, music, TV shows, social media, and commercials to see what worldview they promote. Everything pushes a worldview, and we want to help you find your view.
It's time to show Kong that man is king. Hey, everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm James.
I'm Adrian.
I'm Luke.
Welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 94. We are streaming live on Facebook right now, so hi, Facebookers. It's not like Facebookers. Hey, Facebookers. Today, we're talking a little bit about Kong Skull Island. James, you're the only one that saw it. A new Netflix show that Adrian and I started watching. We're going to get to all that in a bit. We're also going to talk... Luke, you weren't here last week, and you have a rebuttal to Logan that you want to talk about.
Yeah, none of these guys liked it except for me.
And you had some good points, so I want to hear you out. We may have some questions from people or just whatever.
So. Can I say that I was listening to the podcast, and I was so furious. It's like, oh, what?
Well, that's your fault there. For not being there.
Yeah, you
know what? It was cold.
The reason you didn't want to come
up. It's snowing.
I almost didn't show up either because I was like, I want to go home now.
Last week, Luke excuses, I didn't want to drive.
The only reason why I showed up is because I was already driving. I was like, well, that's not a good excuse anymore.
So, all right. Well, welcome to the show. Luke, what have you been watching? I'm excited to hear what you've been watching because I want to see the show.
Samurai Jack season 5.
Samurai Jack
came out.
He's
the
back.
Last season.
How long has Samurai Jack been off the air?
Years, like
I know.
9 years.
Because it came. Yeah, it came out. I think I was in college.
It was like 17 years. It was like in 2000.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And it's season 5, so it wasn't actually canceled. They just didn't make the last season. Until the guy finally is like, yep, 17 years later. Right now, it's just the
So this is the final season?
Yeah, final season.
Does it pick up right where the other one left off?
No, it's 50 years into the future.
Oh, wow.
Basically, Jack isn't growing older. And he's dealing with never being able to get back to the past.
So he's Logan.
Except he doesn't grow older.
Yeah, Logan didn't grow older.
Yeah,
until he got disease world.
Yeah.
All right, so...
But... Real quick, it's just the first episode's a setup of what's going to happen. The Aku's like nowhere to be seen, and he has like these assassins. So that's pretty much it so far.
Aku. So, Adrian, did you watch the old Samurai Jack?
No,
James.
I only watched a few episodes.
I tried to watch the first episode. I think I fall asleep every time there's a first episode. Not because it's boring. It's just I watch it at inconvenient times. I'm like, it's late. And I think it's been on Netflix for a while. Like, oh, Samurai Jack. I always wanted to watch that show. And I'm like, so I've never made it past the first episode. But I like what I've seen. So
it's very stylized.
It is. It's got cool.
It's a little bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces. So is it worth watching?
If you got 24 minutes and you've seen the other ones and you like them, then yeah.
So the whole season isn't out yet. It's just, okay, episode a week.
Yeah.
So.
It's one of those. It's one of the good ways to watch shows is one episode a week. None of this... 5 episodes in 1 hour type of stuff. None of this, James, I watched the whole series in one day. So that's the worst way to watch stuff because you can't process anything. And the next thing, you go to bed, and that's what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
You dream about it, and you're like, I had the weirdest dreams.
It's about Stranger Things. All right. James, what'd you watch this week?
Hong Kong.
Fist of Rage.
No, just Hong Kong. There's actually a live stream of Hong Kong, the city, and I got on that. But I also watched Kong
this week
because I thought that would be better. So I watched it.
Kong, Skull Island.
Skull Island, really good. I enjoyed it. We'll talk about it more later. We'll put it through the time view machine.
No, because you're the only one that
you're the only one that saw it.
Viewfinder machine.
And past experience says that would be
sorry.
A bad idea.
The time view machine. We can put it through the time view machine. I don't know what that does.
I like how you said everything wrong so far on this podcast. I watched Hong Kong.
Man, I did nothing.
Yeah, so Kong Skull Island, give us... What's the world
view?
My
favorite movie of the year.
Really?
Man, world view. I was thinking about this... Before the show, because I was like, I should do some homework.
No spoilers.
Isn't that Man is King?
No, not that Man is King, but I guess they justify the existence of King Kong. some of the people.
What do you mean? Of course.
They say it's okay for him to exist. All right? Even though he's huge and we should be scared of him, you know what? He should exist. And that's all I'll say. You'll have to watch the movie to find out more. It's really good. Great cinematography, great music, great acting. It's just all around great. It wasn't boring. I didn't find any moment really that boring.
Yeah, and what you said that was interesting, you said the fight scenes were all different. Because you said with Logan, it was the kind of same fight scene with just different backdrops.
Yeah.
But this one has like...
This one has
lots of different stuff.
Yeah,
so,
its own personality.
Cool.
Now, here's what I want to know. Are there Tyrannosaurus Rex in this one like the King Kong one? Okay.
But there are those, like, what do they call them?
Skull crawlers.
I just came up with that.
There are, like, larger animals again, I feel like.
So, according to Box Office Mojo, the 3-day total for Kong, Skull Island, is $61 million. And Godzilla, the reboot that happened a few years back, got $93 million in 3 days.
Yeah, didn't deserve that.
Yeah, so this one, you think this is a lot better.
Oh,
I thought that Godzilla was pretty good,
was
except
terrible.
For the human parts. If you just cut out all the human parts of Godzilla, it was good.
Well, that's like the whole movie.
I think that one, though, was like a bait and switch, because they were like, Bryan Cranston, and he had just come out with... like Breaking Bad, and so, but then he like dies within the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Whoa, spoilers! I haven't seen it yet.
You just talked about that movie.
Spoiler
for people who haven't seen it yet. I mean.
So you liked it, James? Good, good show.
I'd recommend it.
Okay,
cool.
Adrian, what'd you watch this week?
So I watched Edge of 17.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't think it was in the theaters very long.
I am 16.
I don't know.
Going
okay,
on 17. Sorry, that's what I thought.
Letter,
I
was.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So the main character is Hailee Steinfeld, who you might know from True Grit. She's the girl, like she's main girl, True Grit. And then her teacher is Woody Harrelson. So those are the only two.
Oh yeah.
Those are the only two like famous people in it. Their dynamic is really funny and he's kind of a father figure for her. I cannot recommend this movie. It is rated R and, there are some inappropriate parts, mainly language type of inappropriateness, and like kind of vulgar, not just bad words. Right. So in that way, I can't recommend it. But I actually really liked the worldview because it was.
Is she suicidal?
She's not. Maybe the preview might say that, but it's really just because she sent this text to a boy on accident.
Oh, okay.
And so she's like, "I'm gonna kill myself." But it's just her being like really overly dramatic. So.
But you should never, ever just think someone's joking when they say that.
Yes. Well, okay.
True. So anyway, the worldview for that was that selfishness, your own selfishness, gets in the way of your happiness or fulfillment kind of thing. And so it's about her journey going through that and realizing that she is causing all of her own unhappiness because she's so selfish. So her journey to get there and then the whole climax of the movie, she says to her brother, she's like, I wanted my own pain so badly to be, like just me going through stuff. I wanted that to make me feel special. And so I didn't want to recognize that anyone else had pain. So I thought that was really cool.
That's what we talked about with our high school, middle school students last week about community, because a lot of times you think you're going through it on your own, but like everybody else is going through a lot of the similar stuff. And so that's why the importance of small groups and being in Christian community.
Right. So in that case, so I'd give it like a 7 out of 10, maybe. Because I did like the message of it, but I can't really look past some of the kind of the bad humor in it.
Yeah. So, I watched, and I stayed up really late watching it because I was like, I don't really have anything to bring this week because I just been playing Zelda. So good.
That's enough to bring.
So I jumped on Netflix, was looking for a show, and I watched Abstract, The Art of Design, which Adrian, you said you've seen,
I've seen
three
a couple
episodes. So I watched two episodes. The first one, it's with Christoph, somebody, I can't remember his last name.
Christoph Waltz?
Christoph Niemann.
Okay.
But, okay, so it's basically a short, it's like documentaries, and they're all like different, like don't really connect in any way.
They're kind of different styles.
Yeah.
Is
it the same director, every one, or is it?
I think so, but they kind of ask the artists themselves if you could have a documentary about you,
what would you want it to be
like? What would you want it to be like? And then they try to mimic that style.
Yeah, so Christoph Niemann, so you might, like, there's some New Yorker covers. He's done about 20 or 22 or something, he says. Mm-hmm. So you might recognize some of his artwork from that. But I recognize him because they showed he'd made an app. He's actually made two of them. There's one, like, it's a zoo animal app. And you just, they're like these cartoon animals, and you just tap on them, and when you tap on them, like they do funny things. But then there's one where you put your face on it, so it'll be like somebody sitting at a drum set, and then it'll be your face, and you tap it, and they like play the drums.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or it'll be like one in a, it's in a washing machine, and it's, but it's all like cartoony, like black drawing on like a colorful background. But it, yeah, so I was like, oh, I like this guy, and it, and his documentary was interesting because like in it, he's like talking to the. Like, it shows parts of them, like, behind the scenes talking about what they're going to do.
Right.
Because he's like, yeah, I do the same with my wife. I wave to her in the morning, and he's, like, waving to her, and he opens the window. He's like, hey, we're all kind of waiting for you to get out of the shot. And she's like, oh, sorry. And, like, runs out of the shot. You're like, oh, that's funny. Or he's like, why? I don't want a shot of me in my bathroom. Like, I don't want to walk in the bathroom and, like, you get a shot of me brushing my teeth. And, like, yeah, we want to show you doing everyday things. He's like, yeah, that's not...
he's like, I feel uncomfortable with that or something.
Yeah, that doesn't contribute. Because he's like, he said people don't want authenticity. He's like, they think they do, but they really don't. He's like, you don't want to see me changing diapers. Like, you want to know why I do what I do. You don't want to see, like, me brushing my teeth. And they just, yeah. They kept referencing the teeth brushing. They never showed him. It showed him, like, putting toothpaste on, but then it showed, like, drawings that he had done of a toothbrush and toothpaste. Yeah. Like, making out or something weird.
I know something.
What?
People don't want whatever you said there. They want the illusion of authenticity.
Yes.
Because that's why you watch Candid Camera and stuff. I listened to a podcast where the guy who made Candid Camera, at first, he just put a... it was actually a Candid Microphone. It was a radio show. He just put a microphone next to people, and he's like, this is the worst. People's lives are boring. So he had to implement an agent to cause drama of some kind.
Right.
And it's like, oh, there's real people reacting to a fake...
they think it's a real situation. Yeah. Yeah, but it's not.
It's a fake situation. And so it's like, people don't want real reality. They want fake reality.
So that one was really interesting. I really liked that one. Because he was talking about the abstract versus realism. Yeah. And he said, on one end, he's like, for instance, like the heart. He's like, if you had an abstract heart, it would be just a red square.
Yeah.
And he said, that's not interesting or fascinating. He's like, if you have the other end, realism, he's like, it's this... blood pumping organ and that's like really gross looking. He's like, nobody wants that either, like to show love. He's like, then you have to meet in the middle and you have this kind of the heart shape. And he said, people want that. He's like, that's what he's like, you got to find that balance between the abstract and the real to make good art. And we talked about Legos, like, because he's playing with Legos throughout the episode. Yeah. And he's like, he said, Legos is basically like pixel art. Like 3D pixel art. And I'd never thought of Legos in that way. He's like, here's a taxi cab, like, of New York. And he, like, takes it and he, like, puts a white piece on. I was like, oh, that's off duty. And he takes it off and puts a black piece on top. He's like, now this cab's on duty. It's got purpose and mission and all this stuff. And he would, like, make little things out of Legos. And he's like, yeah, this is... He, like, described his family using Legos and different stuff. And it was because he's like, me and my wife, when we had our first kid, he's like, you think it's going to be like this? And he had a little... Lego block. He's like, but it's more like this. And he had a giant Lego block. He's like, I'm like, yeah, that's, I mean, he just like reframes things. He's
thinking.
Yeah. He's just such
that one was cool for me to watch because Andy keeps Legos at his desk and he kind of does that too. And so for me to watch this documentary of a guy voicing what goes on in his head, I was like, oh, that may, like, they're both graphic designers and kind of artists, and they think abstractly, and it made me appreciate what he does more, too.
Because I was really going to recommend this to you, too, because you guys both do stuff in the art world. I think you would like it, too. The second episode was about this guy that designed Nike shoes.
And that was awesome. I enjoyed that one more, actually. Than
really?
Well, it's because you get to see their worldviews and, like, why they do what they do and what motivates them to do what they do.
Money.
And so...
What,
and it was really not like he had one of it, always, you know, like his almost money. Big breakdown designing these shoes every year, and he had to take a break. But
yeah, pressure
wasn't money, then they wouldn't charge as much as they do.
But I mean, but he got into it just to like help athletes get better because he like hurt his ankle really bad pole vaulting,
and so Chuck. Converse. Those were the worst shoes ever, and people used to wear those.
He even did the basketballs. Air Jordans, though, so.
Oh, yeah, those aren't cheap.
He even Air Jordan the third, because they were going out. Like Michael Jordan didn't want to be a part of it anymore. People weren't really behind it, and so they brought him in, and he's like, okay. He just designed trade shows for Nike. And then they're like, they had a contest, and so he entered the contest, and they called him and said, hey, you no longer work doing trade shows, you're now a shoe designer. And so then they brought him in, like, we need you to revamp the Air Jordans. And so Air Jordan, the third iteration of it, volume 3 or whatever, like, he met with Michael Jordan and, like, became good friends with him, like, over a period of years. But that third one, like, when it came out, it was like, that's when the year, like, Jordan kind of took off and, like, won the slam dunk contest and did all this crazy stuff. And so, yeah, it's a really cool show. That one had one cuss word, the second episode, but I haven't seen any more past that. And so I don't know if it gets into, like, some artists that are pretty vulgar. I don't know.
Andy's watched one more than I have, and then I watched one of a designer who did stage design for Beyonce and Jay-Z and things like that. So, and her sets are awesome, but it didn't have any bad content in it.
So far it's been clean, but you look at worldview of how people see the world, like artists see the world, and you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I wouldn't have thought of that. Like I wouldn't have seen it that way or thought of it that way, but they just kind of have this cool take on life and how they do stuff. And so, I recommend that. Like especially if you're a designer or artist or anything, it's a cool show. And even if you're not, because I'm not,
you're really bored and you want to watch something good.
Sure. Yeah, they're really high quality, I think.
Yeah. So, but like each one's like a documentary, and so
don't good. Watch the Kardashians. Watch this.
All right, it's time for.
Really bad one.
All right, so this is probably like the greatest one that we've ever done. So it's funny on so many levels.
Doesn't sound real.
Okay, I just read the title: Lawyer's Pants Catch Fire During Florida Arson Trial. Like that's.
Was he lying?
I know that's the thing. Like that's the joke. Like, it seems like a setup to a tire joke. A lawyer's pants caught on fire in court. And so, but the guy's 28. He's giving his closing remarks. And this guy, the arson case, this guy said his car just, like, it just caught fire. Like, he's like, I didn't burn my car. It just caught on fire. It just spontaneously combusted. Like, just caught fire. So this guy's giving the closing remarks, Gutierrez. And he's talking about it, and all of a sudden his pants just start smoking, and his pocket caught fire. And
he runs
out of the courtroom.
He has Samsung Galaxy.
Just kidding. But he comes back, and he's like, I had he had an e-cigarette, and the battery exploded from the e-cigarette.
No way.
Yeah, and so he's like, he comes back and says, this was not staged. No one thinks that a battery left in their pocket is somehow going to explode. After careful research, I now know that this can happen. I'm not the only one this happened to, but I am in a position to shed some light on the situation. So
that is hilarious.
His pants catch fire at an arson trial. He's a lawyer.
So what I heard,
at least he's not an arson.
What I heard is that the plaintiff, the prosecutor, used that in his closing remarks. He's like, you can't trust the guy because his pants caught on fire. That's what I heard happen.
Where did that phrase come from? Like, liar, liar, pants on fire. There's a great quote from Psych where he goes, how do you tell someone's a liar, someone's lying, except by the fact that their pants are on fire? I'm like,
are we still alive?
Are we not?
Somebody just texted me and said we weren't.
Well.
Is it not a lie?
Let's all get on it.
I'm on it and it's a recorded live. Actually, it's not. Yeah. What?
Oh no!
What happened?
I must have done something.
I've made a huge mistake.
We missed all the good part.
Oh, my phone died? That was weird.
All right. Yeah. So, is it plugged in?
Yeah. All right. Well,
because it can't.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay. So, we're back.
Welcome back.
I don't know why we had technical difficulties. Yeah.
It's only 1 second
because Chris's phone died.
Yeah, technical difficulties. So.
We are live. We have five viewers.
There
all right. We were just waiting patiently.
Thank you. Okay, so you're two.
They didn't help.
Yeah. I'm going to check the
comments. Honestly.
Okay, so.
They're going to be hating on us.
All right, what are we talking about?
We just finished Florida Foibles.
Did we finish it?
Yeah.
We're talking about the guy.
The guy's pants was on fire. It's a hilarious.
It was great. So it was very funny. So don't put batteries in your pocket because they'll blow up.
I feel like somebody was out in the audience with like a little magnifying glass, like shooting at his pocket.
I think it was the arsonist.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, my car just gone by. Like that man's pants right there. See? Yeah.
You know what? I'm not even mad. I'm kind of impressed.
John Powers,
talented.
And Kevin Mackey said, hey, so, and we're back, is what Powers said. Okay, so moving along.
Good to hear.
All right, top three movies this week. Kong, number one. Logan, number two. Get Out, number three. So,
dang, that thing's making some good money.
Those top three movies, somebody from our group has seen all of those.
All three.
But I was in...
No. Who's seen all three of them?
Nobody.
Collectively, we have seen all three.
Yeah.
Working together.
Now if we could all see the same movie to put it through the worldview machine.
That would be great.
Go together.
Okay. Luke, quickly, you had a different view on Logan.
Oh, yeah. The violence part. So that was the biggest complaint from both James and Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, James
we got
and
it.
Chris.
Yes.
James is like, the violence, what do you think about the violence, James?
It's the same over and over.
Over the
you
top.
Just stab people
it was crazy.
In the head.
So we watched John Wick 2, and I used John Wick 2 as a comparison. None of you guys walked out and was like, man. He killed 106 people.
No, I thought it was 119.
Oh, it was more than 106.
I got it. I was like, these poor people.
None of you guys walked out and was like, that was so horrific.
Yeah,
the amount of people he killed.
No, I did. I was like,
when he walked out of Logan, it was like 26 people.
Shelby said, oh no, Logan, don't want spoilers, so goodbye. Okay, we're not going to... Are we going to spoil?
We're not
gonna
spoil
anything.
I'm just going to talk about the
We're just
going
to talk about the violence, so we're not going to spoil anything.
Ryan?
Shelby Ryan, yes.
You shouldn't be watching that, Shelby. You're a Christian.
I just wanted to bring up the violence... The reason why you were so perturbed is because that's the type of violence that...
What, brutality?
Yeah, and that's a good thing. You should, walking out of the movie and being fine with that violence, that's bad. So it's good that you guys are
Yeah,
like,
you're right. If I was okay with him stabbing people...
But walking out of John Wick and being okay with that, that's even
that's
worse.
That's fine.
That's even worse. Because John Wick, headshots. You're like, oh, headshot. It's clean, right?
It's nice.
But it's still taking someone's life. And if anything,
what's
it
wrong with that?
It takes you out of, like, the... The just what
visceral,
it means
yeah, of
to
life
remove
is
someone from the planet, essentially. John Wick, it was like a tap, he shot him in the stomach, and then he'd always shoot them in the head. No matter what, he'd shoot them in the head, wherever.
Yeah, because Zombieland, double tap, you gotta shoot him in the head.
Well, it's also because of wounds. I mean, there's a reason why he did it, but I'm just...
Yeah.
My biggest thing was, if you walk out of Logan and you're like, oh, that was too violent for me, then you should have walked out of John Wick too and be like, that was crazy violent for me.
Well, and we talked about this at the end last week that my friend Bill didn't like John Wick 1, but he's like, John Wick 2, he said it's more fun. And so it's like, it makes the killing, like,
it makes
it's entertaining.
Fun.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, this is like...
That's what was good about Logan. The killing was just like, I don't like that.
Right.
And that's good.
It made it very...
You don't
want
to like it. Because Logan, I mean, he said, oh, I don't really like it, but he does it anyway, because he's a weapon. I mean, he's made as a weapon to kill people. By the Weapon X program.
So because we had this conversation earlier, and I was like, I like that take on it because I hadn't thought of it that way. Because when I left Logan, I was like, man, it was just over the top, the language, the violence. Like it didn't sit well with me. But then when you explained it that way, I'm like, yeah, I was okay with John Wick because it wasn't bloody per se, but it was just like I'm just murdering fellas.
It was swift. It was
murdering fellas.
It was stylized,
if you shoot someone in the head, it's just like you don't actually really comprehend it as much as when you lop someone's head off.
Yeah.
Or their arm. And then
probably the messages of each movie were different. I haven't seen either one, but John Wick 2 is probably like a more action, entertainment kind of thing. And then Logan is like, they're trying to push that he is unhappy killing people. So they want you to feel that too.
Yeah, and I definitely did. So I appreciate that take.
Oh, and one thing, that feeling of unease that you said, you're like, I just didn't enjoy the movie.
Right.
So I want to address that. If you ever read a Greek tragedy, you don't enjoy those afterwards. But when you start to think about them, you're like, I appreciate it because it gives me something to think about and to
ponder.
I've never read a Greek tragedy and be like, I want to read that again until like maybe a couple months later when I was like, you know what? There's some things that you can pull out and be like, apply to your life.
Right.
Now with Logan, I'm not saying that's the same, but I'm like, give it, just think about the movie. And I think there's a lot of stuff you can pull out of Logan and be like, wow, that makes sense. That's kind of a good thing.
I know. That was a good rebuttal, Luke. I agree. And we talked about it. I said, I feel like it was a good film. Like, it was well done. It was well acted. But I just didn't like it. And so...
And I thought Oedipus Rex was an amazing play. Yeah, and I was like, the ending, I was like, he just stabs his eyes out and he goes into exile. What a...
Spoiler alert, come on,
that's like 4,000 years old. The ancient Greeks wrote that.
I'm just kidding. So
4,000 years.
It's four. So I don't know. So we have a question. This just comes from the interwebs, but it says, "What kind of ethical responsibility do artists have when they make pop culture, and are they responsible for what it causes people to think?" So, but I want to go off Logan for a second because I read on the Plugged In they have that culture clips, but there's a quote from Hugh Jackman, he talks about like that he's a Christian. And he's like, yeah, I grew up in a religious family. He's like, I'm a Christian. And he said, he's like, I feel like closest to God when I'm like acting, like especially live theater. He's like, because I feel like I'm, you know, I don't know. He that's when he feels closest to God. And like when he said he was a Christian, I'm like, okay, but in this movie, like you swear a whole lot. Like you chop people up. Like and like he's the one that wanted to make this movie. So, like, what kind of ethical responsibility do they have when they make pop culture stuff? So,
I mean, Samson killed a bunch of people, and I'm sure he probably sweared while doing it as well. Jackman was just being—he's just the modern day Samson.
Okay.
No.
What I'm just trying to say is that the Bible also has some pretty gruesome stories in it.
There is a lot of violence in the Bible. Yes,
using gruesome stories can be—you can pull good things out of. That's the goal. Is are you making something that has some worth, or are you just making something that's like, oh, like Saw? You guys mentioned Saw. Saw is just a shock value movie.
Yeah,
pretty much what it is. If you're gonna watch any Saw, just watch the 5-minute short and you're good. There's a 5-minute short film.
Oh,
Saw before they made the full.
Oh, the full length.
There's no reason to watch anything but that.
Should you watch that though?
Yeah, I watched that. And
it just
was
violent, right?
No, it's actually the 5 minutes. It's actually pretty good.
Okay.
But the rest, that first, that's
so
awful.
So I think if you're a Christian, if you're like a proclaiming Christian, then you need to, I think that should come through because that's the essence of who you are. So it should come through your work in some way. That the lines are great when Hugh Jackman says stuff like, I'm a Christian, but then he goes and, you know, swears and does all this stuff and like,
but
know that, yeah, so... Ooh, that's tricky. But what I saw that question, it made me think of that podcast I listened to. The author of the book Name of the Wind, Patrick Rothfuss, he actually addressed this topic, and he said, as an artist, I have a moral obligation to my readers, and I think about that constantly as I write my book. He's not a Christian, so he just kind of pushes his own worldview of treating people as they should be treated and like kind of loving your neighbor as yourself. It is almost like Christian basis, but being not a Christian. But he even said, he brought up like Tolkien made smoking and like smoking pipes and stuff look really awesome. And he's like, I know this is going way over, like way too far. And he's like, but what if people started smoking because of that, then they got cancer? What if Tolkien's responsible for people's deaths because of a certain worldview?
That guy's stupid.
Well, I'm saying he recognized that was like pushing it too far, and he's like,
yeah,
well, but I need to think about what am I pushing that could be unhealthy for people.
Yeah, are they? Yeah, and the second part of the question, are they responsible for what it causes people to think?
Right.
So if I'm, because usually, and we said this on the show before, like everything pushes a worldview. So the goofy whatever, like little 2-minute commercial or 30-second commercial, everything pushes something. Like they're trying to get you to do something as a result of their art.
Except for classical music.
No. Classical music trying to get you to go to sleep. Unless is it's that a worldview?
is no, going to sleep definitely pushing view. Feelings, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at a lot of original classical music was written, like, and it's very spiritual. I mean, they like
depending have, on which era.
I don't know, but I said a lot.
If you talk to Mozart, he would say, I numbered all my pieces because it's just about the music. That's it. And whatever you get out of it, it's individuals get out what they get. He's not pushing anything. It's like, if you get what you get, I mean, he never said
so
that.
I wouldn't necessarily consider classical music pop culture.
Right.
Either.
But yeah, it is. It's coming back.
But like, instrumental music, it's hard to like push a worldview unless you like read what the artist is like, oh, I'm trying to get this across or whatever. So,
yeah.
I mean, instrumental stuff is more like what you bring to it, but like movies, TV shows, like, yeah, there's stuff you can get out of it that the artist didn't intend. And that's what like
there's a lot.
Reese Roper from Five Iron Frenzy is like, I never want to explain my lyrics to my songs because I want people to take away from it what like they take away from it. I don't want it to skew their view of it.
Yeah.
And so if they figure out something from it that I didn't intend, good on them. But I'm like, yeah, but you still have intentions of writing the songs. I mean, there's like right. there's stuff behind what you say. Like, you have an agenda that you're pushing, so.
And I would say most directors or writers or anything like that, songwriters, are pushing their worldviews in their songs. They're not just doing it for nothing, no reason.
Yeah. And that could be love. It could be racial reconciliation. It could be a lot of stuff, but right. they're still pushing something. And so,
yeah.
what kind of ethical responsibility do artists have when they make pop culture? I think they have a lot, because it's like, because some of the other questions I read from the site, like, it was just talking about the role of celebrity worship that we sometimes have. And so it's like, yeah, I mean, there's a certain level put on celebrities that people are like, oh, we've got to worship these celebrities. I mean, they said it, and so we're going to do it. So, oh.
No, I mean, we have people, maybe just five, but we have people listening to us.
Right now. Our niece was listening last week.
Yeah, so we have, especially as Christians, a moral obligation to like push correct thinking or ideas and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. So be careful what you watch, because there's stuff in, like, if you are an artist, if you are a creator of things, like, you have a responsibility. I think, I mean, it's a big task. Like, yeah, are they responsible for what causes people to think? Like, the reason we did the show is because we want to help people think more about what they watch and listen to. Like, that's why I wanted to do the show in the first place. And so, like, I feel like it's our responsibility to help people be responsible. And so, and I have to be responsible for what I say on the show, because my niece, who's four.
Yeah.
She just turned four. I was trying to remember what birthday it was. So I don't even know how old I am. All right. So what are you guys looking forward to? Do you have anything else to talk to? I think that's, we're wrapping up. Anything?
I'm looking forward to that new movie with X-23 or Laura. Laura? Man, I'm already going to start hyping that movie because like, Laura was an amazing character in Logan.
From Logan.
Oh, man. She was so good. She doesn't talk for most of it. That's some choo-choo.
James, what are you looking forward to? Anything coming up?
Oh, man. Ghost in the Shell.
Are you really?
Really?
We'll see. Hopefully it's
Scarlett good. Johansson movie?
He really did like the TV series.
So, I've not seen that. It's an anime. But it's a Scarlett Johansson movie. Yeah.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to go watch Scarlett Johansson act?
In a weird naked suit.
Yeah. No, it's not. For that. It's a
cyborg body. It's just,
yeah. That's what it is. Now, wait a minute. It's a robot body. It's not even a real body.
My robot body. Yeah, but in real life, she's not a robot, so she's wearing a naked suit. She plays
a robot, and it's actually a green screen suit. So, yeah.
All right, well, James has obviously researched just quite a bit.
Yeah. What is she really wearing in these scenes?
Oh, man. Scarlett Johansson.
It's just her head. They have a body double.
So, I look forward to Iron Fist. It comes out March 17th.
Man, I'm sorry.
Bad news. It's the new the new Marvel show on Netflix, but I've been informed that it's been getting bad reviews already.
Yeah, I wonder why. It's got 18% or
19%. How is it already getting reviews, though?
People have gotten early release.
Early access?
Chris wishes he had early access.
It doesn't look good. I don't know why you're so excited. Tell me why you're excited. Because I saw it and I'm like, not excited.
It's 14% right now. Oh, man.
All right. That's
Man.
Sorry, Iron Fist.
There's always 14 reviews, though. 2 fresh, 12 rotten.
That's still pretty bad because TV shows don't get hundreds.
Here's some of the reviews. Not a complete mess, but it's a significant step down in quality. Nothing in Iron Fist is more shockingly underwhelming than its trio of antagonists. Far inferior to earlier predecessors, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Nicolas Cage. So,
another thing getting early bad reviews.
Luke Cage. Well, it's getting bad reviews.
Beauty
early,
and the
Beast. Yep, it's Beauty and the Beast.
Thank God.
Oh.
I thought it was going to be terrible.
So,
right.
But Cinderella actually didn't do that well either, and
really?
I enjoyed it.
I like Cinderella.
So, right. So,
dude,
I'm looking forward.
Jungle Book was super good.
Yeah,
I got
really,
great reviews.
So yeah, that one's like up there for really
what
good.
What about
reviews.
The Bleako experiment? It's supposed to be like the Hunger Games and an
office building. Yeah, huh.
Yeah. Like,
oh actually. No, that's a shock factor movie. So
I don't know.
Show the depravity of people. What are you going to get?
Hunger Games sounds great.
Let's
see how long these people can survive without food. Is that what the Hunger Games is?
No, it's about killing because you have to be the last one standing.
Yeah, you have to be the last one.
Everybody has to die off.
There is a new John Lithgow show coming out. John Lithgow?
Yeah, you'd have to explain that. Nobody here.
You don't know John Lithgow?
Knows. Nope.
Nobody?
Nope.
Okay.
explain it.
In the Queen, he plays Winston Churchill.
You still got me lost.
In the Netflix show. Yeah. So he was also the bad guy in the Cliffhanger. TV show? Or not TV show, movie? Cliffhanger from a long time ago?
I don't know. All right. Seen.
So, John Lithgow.
The Crown.
The Crown, yes.
Okay.
Third Rock from the Sun. He's like one of the main characters.
Okay, anyway, he's going to be in what?
He's in a new show, but it's making fun of like the making of a murder, like the documentaries of people that have like committed these crimes. And they're like following him and like, you know, delving into all the
I've
cast.
Seen previews for that.
And
yeah.
So so he was on Jimmy Fallon promoting it. I was like, this looks pretty funny because he's like talking about how awful his prison thing is. And he like notices the camera's on. He's like, and by the way, but it just looks pretty funny because he's like, yeah, I couldn't murder. I was at the gardening store and it shows like a camera of him, like what he was buying. He's like buying a shovel, like plastic bags, like all this stuff. And you're like, it's just like they're making fun of those. So it looks pretty interesting. So, Adrian, what are you looking forward to? Sorry.
I do want to see Kong. I am looking forward to Beauty and the Beast, no matter what. And Designated Survivor is back on.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Keep watching that.
Ralph Wiggins said, what's the take on Beauty and the Beast that's getting attention? So, yeah, but I mean, one of the big things it's getting attention for is like, they said, like, this is the first openly gay scene in a Disney movie.
Right.
But then, like, that guy kind of has, like, taken that back. Because it's like a.
It's more like they made LeFou's character effeminate. So
he was effeminate in the cartoon,
right?
Though.
So that's what people are saying is like, didn't you guys realize he sang a whole song about Gaston the first time around? Like,
I haven't seen it.
So anyway, I don't think it's really that big of a deal.
Yeah, Disney's the geniuses. They sneak it in way early, and they poison your brain.
I mean, but there's been hidden Disney messages forever.
Exactly.
So,
that doesn't make it okay.
Well,
we have to stand against it.
In Aladdin, did you see that?
No, he's in there.
He's playing with these figurines, and the Beast was one of them. But is that the hidden messages you're talking about?
No, there's a whole... Pixar actually made a little short film, how all of them are connected. And they take pieces and like zoom in and zoom out of each show, and it's really awesome.
They all have this pizza, rocket pizza. They all have the rocket pizza in it.
There's like a crazy theory about Pixar movies that some guy came up with.
Yeah.
So John Powers laughed. He said, LOL, Cliffhanger, Dexter, Third Rock, Harry and the Hendersons, etc. That's what.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
John Lithgow.
Sorry, doesn't
you guys would know John Lithgow if you
he's
saw him.
He's one of those people that you're like, oh,
that guy.
But you don't know his name.
So he's no Brad.
Did someone ask what the bad rap about?
No,
Beauty
what's
the
take on Beauty and the Beast? That's getting attention. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's just kind of that.
People get really upset about homosexuality, but not violence.
Yeah, well,
that's
pretty much
what it is.
In the Dragon movie, How to Train Your Dragon, the second one, like there was a character that made like a weird line, and this guy's like, yeah, because that character's gay. You're like, what? Like, that didn't make any
sense. I didn't even notice that.
Sense, yeah. Or whatever. Like, you wouldn't have noticed it. That's until that guy said that.
And I've never noticed it.
I read this thing where it's like, okay, society, like, being gay is okay. It's the norm. So why do we hold movies to a higher standard than, like, world, like, what's going on in the world? Like, that should be, in a way, that's, like, what's going to be normal. So we just got to kind of figure out how we're going to deal with that as Christians.
Yeah, how to talk to my kids about,
like,
that.
It's an exception if it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, almost everything has some kind of... I mean, even the first Ice Age had... There's, like, two characters, two, like, weird hippo rhino characters that...
Oh, right. Yeah.
They were,
but
they
and there's off. Other bad things that are being pushed in those movies. So, like...
Yeah,
so Luke is saying.
So why are we
violent?
I'm saying we get upset about some of the silliest things.
That's true.
Right.
There's other movies we should be not having kids watch.
Like
Airplane. It's PG.
Okay, so I watched.
Airplane is PG.
The,
it, no, don't let any of your kids
the
watch
the cartoon.
That.
This is on Netflix, but don't watch it because it's The Last Unicorn. So it's in the 80s, and I just read the book, so I was like, oh, I should watch the little cartoon that it's based off of. There is some major nudity, like women nudity, and
in this cartoon,
there's a couple of bad swear words in there. I was like, this is awful, and a horrible killing. Like, this bird kills this witch lady in a terrible way, and I was like, kids, watch this. Like, I would take LeFou any day. Like, over this scary stuff. Like,
have you seen Fantasia?
Yeah.
There's the part where they go back to Greek times, like all the centaurs, female centaurs, they're all topless, essentially.
Right.
And in the original cut, they're all topless and basically naked. And that wasn't a problem.
Because
they actually edited it.
But you said it was later the original on. Cut. Yeah,
exactly. No, they edited it later on, like 40 years later.
Yeah.
And the original cut.
Because we're like, sometimes you get things wrong back then.
Or because Disney didn't see it as a problem. It was.
Yeah, they changed the car a lot, too, from back then.
I'm just trying to say is that I think, I don't know, there's just things that you like you don't notice. And then,
but then when you get older, you do. And you're like, you know what? That's evil.
So the other thing, I'm looking forward to playing more Zelda. I've played a lot of that game. And like every night I fall asleep. So... Oh, great.
Every night you fall asleep.
John Bauer said, this show made me want to watch Logan. Don't watch that. But man, yeah, so Zelda is just so good. It's just great. And then, like, it's fun. It's a very good game, so.
Are there advantages to playing it on the Switch than the Wii U?
Yes, because I could be playing it right now if I wanted to.
I just mean, you know, like.
As far as graphics, no.
Quality, anything like that?
Okay. Nothing like that, but.
Joy-Cons.
The controller's different, yeah, but it's...
It goes out, the left one.
Yeah, so if Andy's like, oh, I want to watch my shows, you're like, ah! And you just sit there and play it.
See?
But you can do that already with the Wii U.
Yeah, but it looks terrible.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, man, I... Like, the guys on this podcast I listen to, they're like, oh, yeah, it's better on the whatever. Like, it's better on the tablet than it is putting it up on your screen, and they're right. Like, it's better playing it on the handheld mode than it is up on the screen. Because the frame rate on the screen goes down, and, like, on the handheld, it's just, man, it's beautiful. Huh. It's so good looking.
It goes from 30 to what?
Down?
Well, it's 900p on your TV, and 720 on your hand.
What's the frame rate on the tablet? 60?
720. Oh, no, I think it's locked in at 30 frames per second.
And the other one's 20.
No, I don't know, but it stutters. Okay, this is dumb talk, sorry.
No, it's not. This is important, because I get 60 plus.
But, if you have access or have a way to play the new Zelda, you should. So, do that. All right. Hey, thanks for listening to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 94.
94.
Also known as Podcast Fine Viewers.
So, anyways, again, if we say stuff on the show, that doesn't mean we're recommending it. Listen to the disclaimer at the end of this. So, thanks for tuning in. I'm Chris.
I'm James.
I'm Adrian.
And I'm Luke.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder.
Just because we talk about a game, movie, book, show, or celebrity does not mean we endorse them or the product. So we want you to use discernment about what you take in. So look it up before you consume, and see you next time. Podcast Media Viewfinder.